Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Sometimes we all hesitate before we do what we know we need to do. Or sometimes we hesitate because, well, we don't feel ready. We wonder, well, maybe someone else will notice what needs to get done. For whatever reason, sometimes we just hesitate. And sometimes in our hesitation, the opportunity actually passes us by. And then later on, we regret, why didn't I just step out and do it? Well, here in this gospel, we hear that Jesus hesitated. His mother says something to him, and he hesitates. And then he steps out in faith. And what happens next is his first miracle. And then those who were with him began to believe, there's something going on. There's more here than I understand, and I want to be a part of it. What we witnessed in that gospel were gifts, a variety of gifts. And we hear specifically in our second reading, gifts, a variety of gifts. Now, the second reading is in the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Corinth was a very, very well-to-do town for some because of their involvement in the shipping business. Corinth was a seaside town. There were all kinds of nationalities and people. It was a busy town. Think of Long Beach or LA Harbor. In the early days, San Pedro was where a lot of the seamen would disembark from their long voyages. In the very, very early days in San Pedro, the main street was Pacific Avenue, and the only thing on it were bars and brothels. St. Peter's Episcopal Church was the first church on this hill, and it was put down there in San Pedro. Tiny little church. In fact, the original church is now in Green Hills Mortuary. Tiny little bread box of a church is how Christianity, the gifts to serve, began to happen in San Pedro and spread. In this particular day of readings with these gifts right there in writing, we can look at that list and hear words like wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, and tongues. And sometimes we leave them 2,000 years ago. We leave them in that scripture and don't appreciate what else is in this passage. That all of these gifts are activated by the one Spirit. And that Spirit is dynamic and present always and everywhere. So these gifts are current. They're not old. In fact, in other parts of Paul's writings, he adds other gifts. And I have a hunch you can identify with some of these and not realize it's a gift that's been activated in you by the one and the same Spirit. Gifts of hospitality, leadership, teaching, administration, exhortation, mercy, serving, giving, healing, helping. Serving and helping, I witness all the time in this parish. You witnessed to me in a most extraordinary way your generosity of spirit. Of spirit. Yes, that very giving and helping is in God, through God, and for God. For God's people. All of the gifts we've been given, all that we are, is for a reason. Gifts, especially in this message from this particular part of Corinthians, is for the building up of the people, for encouragement. In this particular passage, Paul is actually addressing an issue. Some of the wealthier members of Corinth who have become Christian are used to having status and power. So with their gifts, they actually are acting in a way that is not life-giving to others. They begin lording over other Christians in the same community because they're wealthier, they have more status, they're used to it. Paul is saying, wait a minute. All of these gifts are given by one and the same Spirit to build up a community, and in that building up, to witness and give to others. It's a challenging moment for all of those Corinthians, because some have to step up and some need to actually step down and realize we are in this together. How do we support one another in this call to serve? So the gifts that we are given are not just for ourselves. We are not Christians to be Lone Ranger Christians with a vision. It's a we. And it needs to continue always to be a we, that we're in this together. And this particular weekend is almost a typical weekend here at St. Francis with how busy it's been. And all of it related to ministry. Friday night, the youth group was in the kitchen cooking 400 hard-boiled eggs for the homeless breakfast and shower program for St. Luke's on Saturday morning. But prior to that, prior to Friday night, John Hennebury, who's in charge of this particular ministry, had emailed his long list of people on the email list. Okay, people, it's time for us to start gathering the 12 cans of whipped cream, the coffee, the hot chocolate, the muffins, the bananas, the water, and the sticks, the cups, the napkins, and on and on and on. And I'm on that email distribution list, and so I see people emailing John, I got the hot chocolate, count me in for the whipped cream, I'll be bringing in bananas. On and on and on. And so Saturday morning at 6 or 6:30, John picks up all the eggs, everything else, takes it to St. Luke's. And then there are others in our parish who are there for a couple of hours ministering with what has been collected to the homeless in that program at St. Luke's. Also on Saturday morning, at least six of our choir had arrived at St. John's Pro Cathedral to be a part of the joint choir for the 10 o'clock ordination. So they had arrived at 8:30 for the 10 o'clock ordinations. And that particular morning, Peter was blessed with a public acknowledgement of a gift he's been given as he was ordained to the priesthood. All of us are called to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. The public ordination of someone is done on purpose so we publicly know that Jesus Christ will continue to feed God's people through the sacraments, through someone whose role has been identified to share that gift in community for the sake of community being nurtured. Peter is not more special than anyone in this room. All of us are equal in the eyes of God, and all of us are blessed uniquely. We are diverse and different on purpose. I think sameness would be absolutely boring. But we are diverse on purpose, with different gifts. But layered on these gifts is a catch. All of us have different personalities and temperaments. So here we are working together on an activity or fundraiser, and someone else's personality or temperament doesn't exactly feel good next to ours. That's hard, to stretch beyond a way that someone works or thinks that's different than how I work or think. Why are they so slow? Why are they cutting the celery that way? Whatever the issue is, and why did God have to add that to the layer? And yet that's part of the process of growing in our maturity as Christians. So even though it's challenging and difficult at times to serve, and we sometimes hesitate like Jesus did, one of the gifts of the Spirit is stepping out in faith and being willing to show up and to trust that in that very opportunity you for some reason want to be a part of, you know you will be equipped to do what you need to do or say what you need to say, because it is the one Spirit that activates all of us. On this particular morning, Peter is not the only one in ministry. We have the choir, the chalice bearers, the oblation bearers, the sound person. We have the verger, the acolytes. And I know I'm forgetting someone or something. But we, the ushers. Thank you for being so shy, Robert. And thanking people is a part of ministry. So I was very touched when John wrote to everyone yesterday afternoon. Long email distribution list. Thanks once again for all your time, dedication, and the love you share in serving others. Feed one, feed all. A long time ago, when John took this over from Daryl, and John began doing his emails, he would sign them, feed one, feed all. And I said, that is really beautiful, John. Where did that come from? I don't know. It just came out one day. And then I smiled inside myself and said, aha, that is the work of the Spirit. It was the Spirit that inspired John to say, feed one, feed all. Included in this weekend of ministry yesterday at 4:30 was a memorial. A memorial for someone who's been a member of our parish just a couple of years. Her name is Sandra. She was an Episcopal priest up in Central California. Her husband died in 2012. So her daughter, Silva, decided we can help Mom more if she's down here as her health gets compromised. Sandra was moved down here, but Sandra didn't know anyone. We were contacted that Sandra now wants to be a part of our parish, and we have a ministry called the Friends of St. Francis. They're not Eucharistic ministers. They simply go and visit. Mary Dealey, I asked her if she would go and be the person that visited Sandra. So in 2013, Mary Dealey, who has three children and a husband, began visiting Sandra once a week. Yesterday at her memorial, I asked Mary to preach, not me. She was the one who had been in relationship with Sandra. And Sandra shared with her all parts of her life. Mary got to share about her children and parents, and they would end their time with a prayer Mary would pray. And Sandra, she said, and this is when Mary choked up yesterday when she was giving her little reflection. And then Sandra would always ask her, and what can I pray for you and your family? Ministry is always and will be a two-way street of grace. And in that grace is the movement of the Spirit, who was always nudging us and inviting us to not hesitate. So I pray this day that you don't hesitate. Trust your nudges. Trust those moments of grace. When you know something is unfolding and maybe it's you that needs to be the one to do the fill in the blank. And in that trusting, you will be letting go and letting God be God in this world. Amen.